The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Championship week continues tonight. We got the West Coast Conference semis. The number one team in the country, unbeaten Gonzaga, taking on St. Mary's. That's 9 Eastern on ESPN. That's followed by BYU and Pepperdine. That's midnight Eastern on ESPN2. Both games are also, as always, available on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios on this Monday. Another hour of Get Up coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. So much sports to get into, and I will tell you, this coming week is a week that we expect to see the beginning of what could be a reshuffling of the entire power structure of the NFL. Let's get to it. Time to get up with the clock ticking and ready to strike midnight in Dallas. The deadline is here. Jerry, what are the Cowboys going to do? We've got the very latest, and they're not the only ones with problems. The Texans still dug in on Deshaun, but for how long are they making the biggest mistake in the entire league? Shefty is here with the very latest. And has Bill decided his quarterback of the future is actually his quarterback from the past? Most important week of the year, and it starts right here. Get up on ESPN. And it begins with this. We have been talking about this day for what feels like forever. Franchise tag deadline day is tomorrow. What will the Cowboys do with Dak Prescott if a deal is not done by then? The Cowboys would have to apply the franchise tag to Prescott for the second consecutive season, a move that would have enormous ramifications because of the magnitude on their salary cap hit this year and because of the possibility that it could lead to Prescott becoming an unrestricted free agent next year. Adam Schefter is here, our insider extraordinaire. Schefty, where do we stand here after 2 years of this discussion with Dak in Dallas?
We're at another critical juncture in these negotiations, Greeny, where the deadline for the franchise tag is 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, and that franchise number would be $37.7 million, the largest tag ever given out to a player in NFL history. And if the Cowboys give out that $37.7 million tag, which they will unless they can get a long-term deal worked out, that would mean that they would probably be losing some other players to make room for Dak Prescott, that he would cripple up their roster, cramp it up in terms of what they could do, in terms of their flexibility. Now, these two sides will continue talking to try to work out a deal. But if we go back to last year, the major hangup seemed to be the length of the contract. Dak was adamant that he get a 4-year deal. The Cowboys were adamant that he sign a 5-year deal. Well, how do they figure last year? Does that count? Does Dak getting a 4-year deal now satisfy Dallas, being that that would be 5 years, including last year? Does he want 3 years right now? We don't know. What we do know is that these two sides have been unable to work out a deal. But they both have, I think, slightly different perspectives. Dak is coming off a year in which his season ended short due to injury. And the Cowboys now recognize that if they can't get a deal done with Dak now, that it would hurt their cap this year and it would put them at risk for losing him next year.
No question about it. And so as I bring the squad in here today, Mike Tannenbaum, I think you put this perfectly. These are the choices. Assuming they don't have a long-term deal done in the next 8 days, take us through exactly where the Cowboys find themselves and why it is such a mess.
They are at a critical juncture. If they don't get a deal done by March 17th, as Adam alluded to, roughly 30% of their cap's going to be for one player on a 1-year deal. They're going to lose about a half a dozen players in free agency. And then in a year, Greeny, they're going to have no Dak Prescott. They're going to lose a lot of good players and no quarterback to move forward with. So they have to get a deal done now, lower the cap number, which they easily could do with a massive signing bonus, create at least $10 to $12 million in room, which would allow them to keep a couple of their players or maybe add a free agent or two when free agency begins. If they don't, Greeny, they have a 1-year player who's 28 years old. They back themselves into this corner. It's critically different than a year ago where they could still tag Dak. In a year, they're going to lose him and have nothing to show for it.
And so the good news is that we have Mr. Prescott's representative on the program today, and that, of course, is Dominique Foxworth. So there really is all the conversation, and it's right, is this is the problem Dallas has. This is the problem Jerry Jones have. Dak, does he have any problems? I mean, if you're Dak and you're sitting back, what are you thinking to yourself now?
Oh, he ain't got no problem. This ain't no problem. Not for Dak. Dak is in a fantastic situation. Dak is, I don't know how often you have watched me talk about Dak Prescott for any new viewers out there, but Dak is my cousin, and he is fantastic at football, and Jerry Jones has bungled this situation, and Dak Prescott is in a classic Topanga situation. He is way too fly for this situation. So Corey was not that handsome, Topanga. Wasn't that funny, wasn't that talented. Topanga was all of that and more. And Topanga never got to the free market because she went to that tiny little school and it was just Corey. She could only choose from Corey or his friend, and Corey won out. So now Topanga's about to be a free agent, and boy, I can't wait for him to get his choice of all the suitors out there who recognize how great he is, because right now, Corey don't appreciate her.
So, Dan Orlovsky, what do you see here from a football perspective? If you look at the situation the Cowboys find themselves in, from an on-field perspective, how do you see it?
I think the Cowboys have to ask themselves the question, what question do they want to answer next year? Do they want to be on the look for a new quarterback, or do they want to be absolutely salary cap hamstrung? Because if they're going to sign him to the deal that reportedly he's looking for, which is the second highest paid quarterback in football behind Patrick Mahomes, they will be salary cap hamstrung, and they won't be able to build a good football team around them. And so they're just going to be paying the quarterback. Or do they want to play the we're just going to tag them game, and we're not budging on the number or years, whatever we hear everything else. We're not going to budge, and we understand that next year we're going to have to find a quarterback. But we're also not going to be cap strapped. We're also going to have the freedom and finances to try and rebuild our roster. And I think right now I sit here, Greeny, like, who's going to leave who at the altar? That's what it feels like the night before. Like, who's going to leave who at the altar? Is Lindsay going to leave Lucas and One Tree Hill at the altar because she realizes his comet is always going to be Peyton? Is Dak sitting there going, man, they're always going to want a different quarterback? And this is what I need answered. Somebody, maybe Mike T. Everyone keeps saying the salary cap or the franchise tag is 37. And the Cowboys and Dak's not going to take less than 37 this year. And then everyone says the Cowboys can't put a good roster together at $37 million a year. So how is Dak Prescott going to get a deal done if it's not going to be less than 37, but they also can't put a team together if it's more than 37? Someone please educate me on how that happens.
Tannenbaum, let me come to you on that. Now I'm putting you on that side. I know you would have done the deal 2 years ago. You were one of the first people to say that on the show. But now I'm putting you on the other side of the table. What are you saying, if you're Jerry and Stephen Jones, to Dak Prescott's representative Dominique right now?
Easy. We're going to give you $100 million to sign on a four-year deal. That's $25 million in proration plus $1 million in base salary. So your cap number this year is $26 million. We're going to save about $12 million on the cap, which we desperately need. Next year, your base salary will roughly be about $20 million. Your cap number will be $45 million. At that point, players like Zeke Elliott, you can move on from. Zeke's dead money would be about $10.6 million. You have Tony Pollard. And as the contract moves along, which would be $160 million over 4 years, which is $40 million a year, that is market rate based on what Deshaun Watson's got. And you can save cap room this year. And as you go along, you'll pick up other cap room. So I disagree with Dan. You're not cap hamstrung. You have a 28-year-old quarterback who's already won a playoff game, and you can make this work. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, each one of those players has made $100 million over a three-year period, and both Seattle and Green Bay have gone to the playoffs with them at the quarterback at that rate.
Nate, do we have a deal?
That's a lot of words and a lot of analysis, and if I was Dak Prescott in this situation, I would say, I'm good.
You would turn down $100 million in year one?
I'm good. We're gonna play this out. I'm going to get the free agency, and I'm going to go wherever the hell I wanted to. You were disrespectful to me all the way up until this point. I am good. Y'all can leave me alone. I'm fine, because Dan brought up the point, the very true one. He made an analogy to some show I've never heard of, but I get the point about this negotiation. Wow. You come to this altar moment, and you have to make a decision. I get it, but this is more of a negotiation than a relationship. And in a negotiation, everyone knows your power comes from your altar. Alternative. Like, how willing are you to walk away? The alternative for the Cowboys is, I don't know, turkey bacon? That's the alternative? The alternative for Dak Prescott is I can go wherever I want and get a potentially a fully guaranteed contract? Yeah, Dak Prescott has all the leverage, and I would not give in to the Cowboys at this point because they've shown nothing but arrogance up until now.
This is officially the best day in the history of the show. We just fonted Dominique Foxworth as Dak Prescott's cousin. Now I'm happy. All right, Shefty, final word. Go.
Well, I would say that if Dak wants to go that route, he would have as much, if not more, leverage than any free agent in history, perhaps. But I also think that we can't underestimate the fact that he likes being the quarterback of America's team, and he wants to be the quarterback of America's team. And as much as he might feel disrespected, which I don't know that that's the case, I think he'd like to be there, and I think he'd like to get this deal worked out, which should provide enough incentive for both sides to figure this out over the course of the next week or so.
I don't know if Dak is disrespected, but me and Tad, we got problems with the Cowboys organization. Me and Tad,
Shut up, man. We ain't feeling the way that they treat us.
Me and Tad don't like the way they've been disrespecting the Prescott family. That's all.
Okay, fair enough. So Dak may make a deal with the Cowboys. Dominique is not ready to have this conversation. Nope. I got to take a break. We're coming back with so much more. Coming up, the Texans remain dug in on Deshaun, but for how long? Are they making the biggest mistake in the league? We'll talk about it. Plus, Russell Wilson of Chicago picking up steam. How likely is Russ to end up in Chi-Town? Shefty's got the latest. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tomorrow, franchise tag day in the National Football League. Adam Schefter, let's run through a couple of situations starting in Tampa.
Yeah, we've got a situation there where Greeny, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers want to get two players signed by that deadline. I don't know if that'll be possible. They've got one tag to use. So either they tag Chris Godwin, the wide receiver that Tom Brady likes, or the pass rusher, Shaq Barrett. Ideally, they could get a long-term deal worked out with one of these two players and then tag the other. But both players would like to get to the free agent market to see what's out there before they make a decision. As for the Chicago Bears and Allen Robinson, they have not had discussion on a new deal in recent months, but the Bears don't want to lose him and could absolutely wind up tagging him. It would be the likely course of action to try to keep him in Chicago. If they don't tag him, he won't be back. He'll be leaving. And so the tag becomes the logical course of action for the Chicago Bears to follow as they are a week away from free agency. And the Detroit Lions in a similar situation with Kenny Golladay, who they tried to get a long-term deal worked out with last season. Two sides were unable to reach a deal. Lions offered somewhere between $18 and $19 million a year. The franchise number for a wide receiver is about $15, but I don't think it's a sure thing that Kenny Golladay will get the franchise tag, and it's possible that he could be allowed to test the market without the tag, which I'm sure would please him a tremendous amount. And if that were the case, then he would not be back in Detroit.
Again, tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, is the franchise tag deadline. We talked about Dak. We talk about these situations. And then a player in an entirely different situation, Shefty, is Deshaun Watson. I haven't had you on in a little while. What is the latest right now between Deshaun and the Texans?
They continue to tell teams that they are not interested in trading him. And I don't think you're going to see this change for quite some time, Greeny. I don't think that this is a touchstone moment here before the start of the new league year where the Texans feel compelled to have to move. Look, each side is dug in its respective stance. You've got a situation here where basically the Texans say they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is vowing not to play for that team again. We'll see who blinks first here. And again, the Texans really don't have to do anything in my mind until right before the draft. That's the next big decision, the next timeline for a big decision that they have to make. Because if they want to solidify the quarterback position, if they're willing to make a move, it would have to be done right before the draft, not now. And so they can continue to tell teams all they want from now till then. We're not moving them. We're not interested in moving them. Somebody will be interested in Deshaun Watson the week of the draft.
Yeah, the first round of the draft is 7 weeks from Thursday. So we'll use that sort of as the next deadline for Deshaun. Dan Orlovsky, what do you make of this? You were making a point in our meeting this morning. I don't want to put words in your mouth about the way you view this from the Texans' standpoint.
It just doesn't make sense that the Texans are going to sit there and go, we're going to make him sit out this season. You benefit zero from that. You benefit zero from playing hardball. I think the reality is both Nick Caserio, the new general manager, and David Culley, the new head coach, need to understand that this blood is not on their hands. They did not create this mess. They don't have to worry about 3 years from now, fans of the Houston Texans going, I can't believe you ran Deshaun Watson out of town. And they could always go, no, we didn't. That was not on us. We inherited this mess, and we had to try and clean it up. But that was not on our hands. That is from the time period before us. And then the last thing is this. At some point, you've got to understand it's time to move on. Like, no matter how many times you text or how many times you call and try to get that person back, they're not coming back. They moved on. They're in a different relationship. Deshaun Watson has moved on. He is already entertaining dating someone else. You're going to have to make the decision to cut ties.
So, Nick, yeah. The flip side of this, and again, you were the president of the NFLPA, the flip side that some would give, I'm not giving it, is the Texans would be concerned about setting a precedent that any player who's unhappy could essentially talk his way out of town. I've heard that said. What is the response to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's not a bad thing for the league. If you run your organization well and you have a team that puts their players in the best position year after year, you're going to be fine. You're going to be the destination that people are going to. So I wouldn't be afraid of this if I was running an organization that I was proud of, an organization that was geared towards winning and putting their players in the best situation. So that doesn't concern me unless I'm a poorly run team. So I do think that it does get interesting if they go through the draft and don't trade him. It's going to be really interesting because right now Deshaun Watson's had it pretty easy and I like it. Everyone's been on his side. The fans, the media, everyone's been like, yeah, Deshaun, get out of town. You deserve better than what they've given you. That's going to flip. Once we get to training camp, that is going to flip. The fans and the media are going to turn on the player because they always do. And it's going to be really tough. We haven't seen very many players. I think Le'Veon Bell is the last one we could think of who actually stuck by it and didn't show up. And I don't know if Deshaun is going to be built for that when everyone turns on him.
Yeah, the Carson Palmer is another example of this that you think is a guy who literally was willing to retire rather than play for the Bengals. He did eventually wind up getting traded. I have to leave it there. So much more on this as we go. We'll see what happens with Deshaun. We have another quarterback situation. Has Bill Belichick decided his QB of the future is actually his QB from the past? We've got that answer next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Gut Up, and Orlovsky, I insist we talk about golf because Bryson DeChambeau won over the weekend the Arnold Palmer event, and this was the hole everyone was talking about. This was his drive yesterday on 6, 377 yards.
Go to your home, ball! Go to your home! What, Greeny, that would be like driver 3-wood for you. DeChambeau just pipes his drive over the water.
And he wound up winning by rolling in a clutch putt on 18 yesterday. It was great golf this weekend. Coming up, Russell Wilson of Chicago picking up steam. Is it likely? Shefty's got the answer next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back, and so there's been a lot of talk about the potential of Jimmy Garoppolo reuniting with his former team and his former coach Bill Belichick in New England, the 49ers quarterback currently under contract for two more seasons. But the Patriots are on the lookout, and our Mike Reese made some very interesting points in a piece he did over the weekend in which he brings up the possibility of a few potential Jimmy G trades. The first would be a reunion with the Patriots where the Niners would get a second-round pick or would get Stephon Gilmore, the second being from the GM Shuffle podcast, in which the Jets would get a number two pick, a second-round pick, I should say, and the Niners would get Sam Darnold. Mike Reese came on live with us earlier this morning to explain.
You saw the respect that was mutual between the Patriots and Garoppolo. Well, you'd think Jimmy might like the idea of a homecoming in that scenario, Greeny, that could work for everyone. If the Patriots believe Jimmy Garoppolo is their plan A and there's a big gap to plan B, now is the time for them to at least test the 49ers' commitment to Jimmy G.
So this just keeps getting more and more interesting. Adam Schefter, what do you think?
Well, listen, again, the 49ers, I think, would like to bring back Jimmy Garoppolo, but are completely open to looking and exploring every possibility that's out there. And if you trade for Sam Darnold, as Mike Reese and Mike Lombardi brought up, then what you're doing is you're getting 5 years younger at the quarterback position. You're saving about $20 million this year because Sam Darnold's contract is cheaper than Jimmy Garoppolo's. And by trading for Sam Darnold, it allows you the flexibility to bring in other players. Or perhaps maybe you wait for the draft to see if there's a quarterback that you'd like to be able to draft at some point in time. Whatever it is, the 49ers are looking at all the options to determine what makes the most sense. And if they find that there's an option out there that makes more sense to bring in, well, that would free them to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. And there's no place that makes more sense to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to than the New England Patriots.
I want to look at this from a bunch of different sides, Dan. From the 49ers side, I think we all believe that if fully healthy, it's a championship roster around the quarterback. So, Dan, if they were to bring in Sam Darnold, is he ready for that? Like I know you said earlier, that would be the best thing that could happen to Darnold, and I agree. But is he ready for that?
Yeah.
I believe he is, yeah, Greeny. If I was the 49ers right now and you gave me the option to have Sam Darnold for, I don't know, a second or third round pick in the next 2 years of him at around $20 million, or Jimmy Garoppolo, I would take Sam Darnold without hesitation because it gives me 2 years to evaluate him. I think he's a greater talent than Jimmy Garoppolo, and it finally gives him a situation where we get to see if he's a good player or not, so to speak. Now, San Francisco, I think he's got the chance to have a pullback as a team. You know, they got a ton of free agents, so it's not going to be the same team that we saw go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But if I was San Francisco and I had to weigh having one of those or either of those options, Sam for those 2 years for a second or third round pick or Jimmy G, I'm going to take Sam. And I would give a little pushback on the Patriots like selling out for Jimmy Garoppolo. Respectfully, his best season 2 years ago, 27 touchdowns and 13 picks. That's like good, right? That's good with the best, one of the best play callers in football. He's missed 23 games in the last 3 years and he's 30 years old. Now, I don't know if I'm like running to go get that quarterback if I'm the New England Patriots.
Yeah, there have been a lot of injuries with him. He's only played six games in a season for San Francisco once. Now, that season, they did go to the Super Bowl. So, Dominique, let me ask you the New England side of it. How do you like it from the Patriots side?
Yeah, I don't love it from the Patriots side. If Sam Darnold is available and I'm the Patriots, that's the guy I want to go after. Of course, they're in the division, so maybe that trade is not likely to happen. But from a talent perspective, Sam Darnold is much more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo, and he adds the extra level of athleticism that you could do some design runs with him. So I think he's the best potential player in this situation. Whoever ends up with him ends up with a win. But I do think that the Patriots are on the precipice of potentially doing or working out this particular strategy. Oh, did we lose you? We're talking about the Jets and the Panthers.
Let me just say this. I'm just going to say this. I guarantee you, If Sam Darnold somehow wound up on the Patriots, he would go to the Hall of Fame. I guarantee you, Shefty, you know what I'm talking about. If Sam Darnold, something's just happened. If Sam Darnold, I don't think it's going to happen. If Sam Darnold wound up on the Patriots, I promise you, Shefty, he's in. Just book him now for Canton, Ohio.
Well, again, I know how much faith you have in the Patriots turning around quarterbacks, and I know how much faith you have in your respective team doing that with quarterbacks. But again, I think the Jets have heard from a variety of teams here. I haven't heard New England as one of the options. So you can rest easy right now, Greeny. You can relax, exhale, take a deep breath. It doesn't look like Sam Darnold is going to be headed to Foxborough and thus, consequently, Canton, Ohio.
Yes, thank you very much. So, Dominique, I'm sorry. I took some of your time.
No,
I will cede it back to you. Final thought. Patriots, Garoppolo, that, you like it, you don't like it.
I like it potentially as an upgrade over what they have right now, but I like it if they are planning on cycling quarterbacks over the next several years until they find one. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a long-term answer in New England. They're going to keep looking and maybe be successful doing it. I think the Colts are a team that we've seen try to do something similar to this, but the Patriots, as much respect as we have for their coaching staff, they could be a place that kind of cycles through each quarterback for a couple of years and then goes on to the next one.
I keep thinking Alabama's Mac Jones would be a very good fit in New England for a variety of reasons. They pick 15 in round one. I don't think he'll still be there. Keep a close eye on what they do. Now, another quarterback situation that may be of more immediate consequence is this one. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, but he and the organization are clearly not seeing eye to eye. Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. I continue to point this out, and Shefty, I make this point literally every day that we have this conversation, that this is not something that was leaked. This is something that his agent said directly to you on the record. I assume we still have Shefty. Said directly to you on the record. So that changes the dynamic of it to me. So I want to get your perspective on this, and I will tell you also, everyone I know in Chicago believes Russell Wilson is coming. So what do we say to the people in Chicago who are convinced Russell Wilson is going to be their next quarterback?
I've had a lot of texts asking if Russell Wilson is going to be the Bears quarterback. So it's not just your friends, it's my friends too, Greeny. And what I would say to that is this. The Bears are the most desperate team to go land a quarterback. I think Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, they know that their jobs are on the line, that they have to go do something. And so from that standpoint, if Russell Wilson wants to go to Chicago and the Bears want Russell Wilson, well, you'd think that the makings of a deal would be there. But I would say this. What are the Bears trading for Russell Wilson? They have the 20th pick in the draft. They don't have an obvious quarterback that Seattle would want. What is that package going to look like that's going to enable Seattle or allow Seattle to eat $39 million in dead cap money? You tell me, what's that package look like? Give me an idea.
Well, here's the good news. I can bring Mike Tannenbaum in and he can answer that question because you've been advocating for them to make these trades. And we've talked about Deshaun and we've talked about Russell, but Shefty brings up a good question, Mike T. So now you're on the phone with John Schneider in Seattle and he says, well, what are you giving me? What is the answer?
I'm going to give you three first round picks and a really good young player. You want Roquan Smith? You get Roquan Smith. You want to talk about Khalil Mack? We'll talk about Khalil Mack. It would change the fortunes of the Bears for the next 5 years to get somebody like Russell Wilson. So you have to give Seattle something that they can't turn down. Three first-round picks and a good young player is a great place to start that conversation.
Adam Schefter, does that get it done?
Well, to me, there are no untouchables when it comes to getting Russell Wilson if you're the Bears. I would say take a look at our roster and you tell us who you want. You pick the package. You put it together. Because Russell Wilson, from the moment the Bears acquired him, would be the greatest quarterback the Bears have ever had in their franchise history from the moment they traded for him. So there's no price, in my mind, that's too great that Seattle couldn't ask from the Bears, and there's nothing the Bears shouldn't be willing to give up. You want to include the Sears Tower? Include the Sears Tower. You want to include a lifetime supply of spinach pizza from Giordano's? Get it done, whatever it takes.
That's it. Shefty is fired up. He's 100% right. Russell Wilson is the best quarterback they've ever had just based on us having this conversation. And they go back 101 years to when they were the Decatur Staleys in 1920. Dominique, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I love the way that Adam's approaching this negotiation. I'm confused by Mike Tannenbaum, though, because I feel like there was just a couple months ago, he was trading family members for a different quarterback. Now we got Russell, who may be a better quarterback, and you just coming with three first-round picks. What's going on? I thought you were trading anything. I thought everything was on the table.
Yeah, Mike, that art behind you.
I'm sure that's worth a couple million.
Well, that is true. I guess context is a little bit helpful here, which is my salary cap, not friendly teenage daughter. We were going to package her for Deshaun Watson. But if Adam could get the Sears Tower in for Russell Wilson, who's 32, I think that's a little bit of the difference there.
By the way, everyone in Chicago is happy we're calling it the Sears Tower. It's now the Willis Tower, but literally no one calls it that. Shefty, let me finish with you, if I can, on this thought. I feel like you're telling me this is unlikely. I don't just mean Chicago, but generally speaking, based upon the dead money hit, it feels unlikely to you, despite all the smoke, that Wilson gets traded this offseason.
You know, listen, I'm having a hard time with the Russell Wilson trade from this standpoint. On the one hand, it clearly looks like he would like out, and I think there's a part of Seattle, believe it or not, that would like to trade him. But I look at the dead money of $39 million. I look at the teams that can make it happen, and it just seems like it's a challenging fit. I'm not telling you it can happen. It absolutely can. I think Russell is interested. I think the Seahawks are interested. But can somebody make it happen? And that's why when we talk about the Bears, and I say, if I'm the Bears, you tell me what the package is for my roster, John Schneider. You make it work. You pick the package. It's like, you know, going to a Chinese restaurant on a Sunday night. Something from Group A, something from Group B, something from Group C, and all together, there's your meal. Right? Pick it and put it together and make it happen. I'm not telling you it's unlikely. I'm just telling you it's very challenging to get the deal done from both standpoints, what a team can offer and whether Seattle would be willing to eat the $39 million against its cap while trying to come up with somebody to replace Russell Wilson.
Awesome. Guys, stay with me. We have so much more on these quarterbacks. I have to run because, oh, by the way, the NBA All-Star game was last night. Let's run the floor through all of that, beginning with the skills challenge. They did everything last night. You had Luka Doncic and Chris Paul losing in the semifinals to Domantas Sabonis and Nikola Vucevic. And in the finals, it would be Sabonis who would knock down a three to win it. He would win the challenge. How about that? The big fella from Indiana, Domantas Sabonis, winning the skills challenge last night. Then we got to the three-point contest, and it was exactly how you would expect it to go. Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, his seventh three-point contest. He last won it in 2015. He gets to the final against Mike Conley, and with that shot, he beats Conley 28-27. Steph Curry, the seventh player to win multiple three-point contests. And at halftime, they did the dunk contest, and that would feature, among others, Obi Toppin from the Knicks and Anthony Simons from Portland, and it would be Simons taking advantage of a new rule called judge's choice, winning a vote of 3-2 to win the slam dunk contest. Good action with that last night, and there's the moment. The judges just picked their winner, and it was Anthony Simons, who was this year's slam dunk championship. And then, oh, by the way, the game of the night, here we go. All-Star game in Atlanta. Team LeBron, Team Durant. LeBron playing with Steph Curry for the first time ever. Good fun. Early first quarter. LeBron didn't play a lot last night, but he did do this. Bam, knocks it down with the reverse flush. He'd finish with 4 points in just 13 minutes, but his team was awesome. How about Steph Curry? How's this for range? Team LeBron wins the first quarter 40-39. Second quarter, Team LeBron is up by 10, and they have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Giannis Antetokounmpo has left off. Why dribble? They don't call it. LeBron loves it. Still in the second quarter. You want to talk about range? Look at Damian Lillard. Look where he's shooting from. That's a 47-foot jump shot. Showing you the range, and Steph Curry says, listen, anything you can do, I can do better. That's actually inside the line. Team LeBron scored 100 points at halftime. They had won each of the first two quarters. Middle of the third, it's Giannis again. Giannis was 16 of 16 from the floor. He would finish with 35 points and be named the game's MVP. Fourth quarter, first team to 170 would be the winner, and it would be Damian Lillard who would make the last shot of the night. That's the NBA's new signature, that long-range shot. 170 to 150 is the final score last night, and again, the Greek Freak was the MVP. Coming up, the clock is ticking and ready to strike midnight in Dallas. The deadline is here. What are the Cowboys going to do? We're going to figure it out as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tonight on ESPN, another NCAA tournament bid will be locked up. Surprising Mercer trying to get in and win the Southern Conference tournament title for the first time. Seven-seeded Bears take on top seed UNC Greensboro tonight. That's 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app, which is the places that you can find us every weekday morning. I'm Greeny. This is Get Up on ESPN. We are with you commercial-free for the next 12 minutes and change, and delighted that you've chosen to be here. Tons of football to get to on this day before the franchise tag deadline. And then top of the hour, First Take will take over here. They will debate if the NBA should have played an All-Star game last night. Plus, with the DAC deadline approaching, what should Jerry Jones and the Cowboys do? Stephen A. Max and Charlie will discuss those and more when they come your way top of the hour. Again, we are commercial-free until then. And we have this required reading. And it comes from our friend Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for us at ESPN. And he wrote an article in which he says, the Zach Wilson hype train is speeding towards the draft, and the biggest beneficiary is the Jets. Wilson's soaring popularity has increased the value of the number two overall pick, and the Jets have done their part by maintaining a poker face. General manager Joe Douglas could have a winning lottery ticket in hand. And so as we sort of consider the possibilities here, Adam Schefter, I said this on the radio a couple of weeks ago. It has become clear Zach Wilson is going to be the second player selected in the draft. The question is, who's going to make that pick? What is your best sense of what the Jets, who currently have that pick, are considering doing?
I agree with that, Greeny. I think that the Jets can sit there and they can field offers and decide to make a trade for Sam Darnold here in the next 10 or so days. They could take that up to the draft to see which teams don't get somebody they want in free agency or via the trade, or recognize after pro days that they won't be able to get a quarterback that they'd like in the draft. And they can then trade Sam Darnold to the team that makes the best bid. But I think they're sitting there in the interim, and then they could decide, well, do the Texans budge off their stance? Can we find a way to get Deshaun Watson to New York? Is that a possibility? And if so, great, then we could figure that out as we get closer to the draft. And if not at that point in time, we could just sit back here and we could take Zach Wilson at 2 if that's what we decide after doing all the research that we do on him in the coming weeks and visit with him at the pro day and watch him and do all sorts of work. But yeah, I think Zach Wilson is in play to be the number 2 overall pick. I've always thought that would be the case. And the Jets get the benefit of time and not having to rush into any decision right now.
You make a great point, because that's right. One of the things that asset could turn into is the center of a trade for Deshaun Watson. But all that is to be seen. So, Mike Tannenbaum, I will ask you to play the role of general manager of the Jets, which, ironically, you actually used to be. What would you do? How would you be approaching this right now?
Well, I think Adam kind of laid out what the process would be, but at the end of the process, you want to go with the best player possible. That is Zach Wilson. He has a chance for you to lead your franchise to a championship. He has a much higher ceiling than Sam Darnold. He's at a much better cost. And when you think about where the game is going from an athletic standpoint, he's a much better fit, especially with what the new system that Coach Saleh is going to run. So I'm going to go through the process. I'm going to listen because that's my job. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson and I'm going to trade Sam Darnold and maybe pick up a second or third round pick. And Joe Douglas has done a really good job. We still have multiple picks next year in the first round. We have another first rounder this year. So the cupboard is bare, but I have resources to improve the team with a great quarterback, Dan, in Zach Wilson, not a good quarterback in Sam Darnold.
Dan, agree or disagree?
I disagree. All right, everyone hang on with me here. I got 5 points. And I need everyone to listen to the first one. Stop thinking about quarterbacks like they're not symbiotic creatures. Quarterbacks and the players around them, it's a mutually beneficial relationship. The second point, Deshaun Watson went 4-12 last year. The third point, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, even a little bit of Baker Mayfield right now. Why are those young quarterbacks playing so well? Because the team around them was capable of allowing for their development. And the last thing is this. I want Jets fans, Greeny, pay attention to this. Just imagine you get a trade offer like the Browns did years ago from the Philadelphia Eagles to go get Carson Wentz. I think the Eagles gave them the first rounder that they had that year. They gave them a first rounder for the following year, a second rounder, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, right? Something like that. I think we have the graphic. Yeah, look at all these picks that the Browns got from the Rams, to go and make that trade. Now, if you're the Jets and you're Joe Douglas, what is more likely to flip your organization? Five number one picks over the next 2 years and three number two picks, so eight picks in the first two rounds, or getting Zach Wilson? Who, if you get Zach Wilson, he might be really good, but you'll never know because your team will stink.
So, Mike T, let me throw that back at you, because that is part of this equation. Those were the two times, the last two times teams traded up to number two. One of them was the Wentz trade. The other one was the RG3 trade. You're getting a bushel full of draft picks for that number two pick, Mike Tannenbaum. That does not factor into this?
It does, but Dan contradicted himself, because earlier in the show he talked about how the first-round quarterbacks are hit and miss. And if we think about the greatest GMs, the Ron Wolfs of the world that are in the Hall of Fame, you're going to hit about 60% of the time on first-round picks. There's also other ways to improve your team, and the Jets have done a great job of creating cap room. Again, Zach Wilson has the ability, the character, the talent, the leadership to be a great player. Sean McDermott drafted Josh Allen, who helped them get to the playoffs, and they have a similar style of play.
They were a playoff team the year before.
Zach Wilson is a pro. Right, but he was the foundation to lead them to greatness. And what my point is, Sam Darnold has never led a team to greatness. He turned the ball over at USC with 22 interceptions. He has 46 turnovers in 3 years. That matters. And Zach Wilson, over the same period of time at BYU, has shown his ability to raise the entire program.
Go ahead, Dan. Quick final thought.
No, the foundation in Buffalo or in Kansas City or in Baltimore was the team was ready. The team was good quarterback play away from being elevated. That's the whole point. They were able to take the quarterback, and the quarterback went from the guy that we think could be really good to being really good because they're not symbiotic. They're mutually beneficial. People need to start understanding that more, especially in New York.
It's a good debate.
The Jets have the cap space and they have the picks in what will be the biggest buyer's free agent market ever to be able to build up the roster and surround whoever plays quarterback with good players. And so that's why the most important thing is you pick the quarterback, whether that's Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, that you think is going to be the best player, period. You're right about the symbiote. They'll fill in the blanks around the quarterback that they want to build around. They have enough ammunition to do that.
Let me get Dominique in here really quickly. Instead of doing all the on the clocks, let's just do one, and let's just ask him, because that was going to be the next thing we did, was to ask Dominique Foxworth where he stands on this. So let me just bring Nick in and ask you that question so I can still get to Dak to finish it up. Whose side are you on?
I'm near tears. I'm so proud of Dan Orlovsky for being so right in this moment. And maybe it's the glasses that makes him smarter, but that is excellent analysis. Not being the quarterback fool who's just like, let's get a quarterback. There's quarterbacks, let's get them. No, Dan is smarter than that. He knows that you need to build a team and that quarterbacks are benefit from having a good team, offense, defense, receivers, offensive line. It all matters. Build that perfect situation before you start chasing around these quarterbacks, because no quarterback can succeed in a system without the requisite talent. And Dan even used a word with more than two syllables. It was just great. I loved it, Dan. Magnificent.
Let me leave it there, because I got one more thing to get to today, and this one, Dominique, goes back to you. So after all these years, the Dak Prescott issue is finally going to come to a head, one way or the other. And you may recall a few weeks ago, the Cowboys released a hype video that did not include Dak Prescott. So as a reminder, we made our own.
This is an easy hype video to make. You know what you do? You start at cleats, and then you pan slowly up, and you just let the beat play.
Guess who's Biz Axe playing in the background? You bring it all the way up, and then you lock it on the silhouette of a man. And then light comes on, and it says, guess who's that? 2021. The only other option of a video is maybe you have Dak throwing the ball and the ball is actually Dak's head to another guy named who looks like Dak catching the ball. And then I want the camera to go in on the middle of the field where the star is. No, 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 not a star. It's Dak Prescott's face.
So that was the hype video that we felt that they should do. Parenthetically, I think you're wearing the same jacket, but that you were wearing the day we did that. Amazing. But that's neither here nor there. Shefty, let's finish it with that. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock is the deadline, Eastern time, for the franchise tag. What should we expect?
We should expect Dak to get the richest tag in NFL franchise history, to have more power and more leverage shifted over to his side while the two sides continue to try to work out the deal that we've spent endless hours on this very program talking about whether it will or will not get done. We'll continue to talk about it all through daylight savings, all through the spring. Whether or not they get this deal done, we'll get Dominique's hype video all in there while Dak comes back from his injury, and we'll continue to talk about through March and April and maybe into training camp and up to the franchise deadline in June. Are they going to get the deal done? We've never talked about this before.
I'm speechless. Orlovsky, how should this go? Give me the roadmap. Where are we going here, Dan Orlovsky?
Oh, my goodness, Greeny. Listen, I think I'm guessing here. I think the Cowboys are going to tag them, and they're not going to get a deal done. I will say this. After 3 years of me sitting on television talking about Dak Prescott, I'm going to tip my hat to him. He deserves it all, right? This is a guy that has worked tirelessly. He was put into a situation, and he took advantage of it, which is every kind of player's dream in the NFL, is to get an opportunity. He took advantage of it. He's been through personal tragedy off the field, and he can at least rest easy knowing that he is going to do really the impossible in the NFL. So credit to him. I hope it works out for him.
Final word, Dominique.
On behalf of the Prescott family, Dan, you can keep your hat tip. Untip your hat, put it on, take it off, no one cares. Don't try to get on this train late. You was a Dak hater. Now
no,
we're about
I'm
to
not.
Get
no, no, no.
in. Oh,
no,
my
no.
gosh. We're about
I'm
to go where
to
the money
nice
resides
guy.
In Prescott land, and
nice
I can't
guy,
wait.
Dom.
We don't need
trying
nice.
To be a nice
you
guy.
You can't start
You're
an argument
nice.
With 10 seconds left in the show. We're finished here today, Kick whether we stop yelling at each other or not. Thank you for watching. First Take starts now.